What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf. Thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. And the news in Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Weapons. U.S. forces in Syria, NBC News reporting. Attacked by rockets a day after the U.S. military carried out what the Pentagon called defensive airstrikes in Iraq and Syria against Iran-backed militia groups. I go to Israel, to Aaron Klein, senior advisor to the former Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, and a strategic analyst of the moving story of Israel and the concerns about Iran's predations. The U.S. airstrikes against Iran-backed militias in Syria and Iraq, now answered by Iran-backed militias firing on U.S. or friendly forces. Aaron, a very good day to you in Israel. The gunfire in the background informs us of two meetings taking place in these last hours. One historic, the foreign minister of Israel, Mr. Lapid, in the UAE. What is the significance there, given the Abraham Accords? And then, of course, importantly, President Rivlin of Israel's meeting with President Biden in the Oval Office in these last hours. Good day to you, Aaron.
Good day. Yeah, so let's jump from one topic to the other. We can start with Yair Lapid, the foreign minister, who inaugurated Israel's embassy. This is historic, in the UAE just a few hours ago. Lapid is also going to attend Israel's the inauguration of Israel's consulate in Dubai. And then you also had a few hours ago, Bahrain officially appointing its first ambassador to Israel. So, and Lapid did, by the way, thank Netanyahu and praise him as the architect of the Abraham Accords, and also thanked President Trump. So, you know, that's where we are today, and that the Netanyahu legacy, the Netanyahu doctrine of peace through strength is bearing fruit on the international stage. And of course, also President Trump's leadership. I was sitting with Netanyahu just before, and he pulled out a book that he wrote that was first published in 1993. So this is at the height of the Oslo euphoria of Palestinians signing a peace deal on paper with Israel, promising peace, and then in exchange, Israel would have to relinquish strategic territory. Didn't work out very well. So in 1993, he first outlined his vision for what eventually became the Abraham Accords, that Israel would first become a superpower, and that economically, militarily, and that because of that, the Arab nations would want to make peace with Israel, and then also the Arab nations would make peace with Israel before the Palestinians. So he was way ahead of his time. And now this is where we are today. We now have the Abraham Accords, Lapid in the UAE. And I do hope that the doctrine that brought it about of peace through strength is continued. I do note with some concern that the Abraham Accords were signed without peace through weakness, without peace through relinquishing territory in exchange for nothing. And I hope that continues because I do note that the Biden administration, it's been going on for quite a bit here, they are expressing constant, let's just say they're putting pressure on Israel, or have been, with regard to Jews living in Judea and Samaria and building in eastern sections of Jerusalem. So I hope that the current Israeli government, dependent on merits and labor to the left, and dependent on Mansour Abbas, who is sort of Muslim Brotherhood-esque, they have very different opinions to Jews living in Judea and Samaria and Eastern Jerusalem. I do hope that the strength when it comes to the issues of Israeli Jewish communities in those areas continues.
Aaron, how do you interpret the intention of the Biden administration to reawaken the JCPOA and negotiations in Vienna ongoing for weeks and weeks, and these reported airstrikes against Iran-backed militias in Syria and Iraq? What does this mean for Israel's defense, especially from the Iranian threat?
Well, the question really becomes, what is the Biden administration policy on Iran, and what are they going for in the nuclear accord that they're trying to renew? The strikes clearly, on the one hand, were to protect American forces, but on the other hand, they're also signaling something to Iran. But then Iran, with its new president, who's a terror supporter, signaled back, and a puppet, of course, of the supreme leader, signaled back to America with retaliation in the form of rocket attacks targeting American troops in the vicinity of the Al-Omar oil field in eastern Syria. So I don't know what was exactly achieved through the airstrike, given that Iran brazenly struck back. But the airstrike, of course, was targeting Iran's drone activities, and so, among other things, against American troops. So that spotlights the question mark of what is Biden trying, and the Biden administration trying to get from the nuclear deal. Is it renewing the 2015 accord? They're signaling it isn't. I hope not, because the accord left Iran perpetually months from nuclear weapons. But the difference is, and this is what Israel is highlighting, and this is where the Israeli government must remain strong. The difference between then and then, the 2015 accord, and now are significant. Iran, first of all, advanced with its enrichment program. Second, Iran has they have drones with conventional deadly weapon systems that can devastate American troops. But more importantly, are the ICBMs, the intercontinental ballistic missiles that Iran has that can target Europe, can even perhaps, who knows how far they can get, target America. So those ICBMs need to be, I believe, part of any emerging accord. And Iran has said absolutely not. And then you have Iran's massive support worldwide of terror. That needs to also be part of the Iran accord because that support has continued.
Let's speak of the terror, Aaron. Hamas rearming. Hamas in conversation, you tell me, with Hezbollah. Hamas depending on money from Iran. That landscape right now, does it look imminent that Hamas is going to shoot again?
What looks imminent, in fact, it's happening, is that Hamas and Iran are not hiding their coordination, because you have Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh right now, today, in Beirut, meeting with Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, who answers to Iran. So Iran is signaling. They're signaling with the fake election that took place in Iran, where they installed this anti-American terror supporter. They're signaling with a meeting openly while the president of Israel, Rivlin, is in Washington. You have the chief of Hamas, the terror chief of a terror group that targets civilians in Lebanon, meeting with the puppet of Iran. And then you have America striking Iran targets, proxies, but then Iran firing back hours later. So what emerges from this is the importance of maintaining a strong position on Iran. I am a little concerned, though, with the rhetoric coming from Israel. You have, on the one hand, Bennett, who's saying a lot of the right things, and then you have Lapid and Gantz, who are repeatedly saying they're going to keep their Gantz, of course, Benny Gantz, the defense minister, and Yair Lapid, the foreign minister, who has veto power over this government, alternate prime minister, both of them repeatedly saying they're going to keep disputes with America behind closed doors.
We have about a minute, Aaron. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, well, Netanyahu has a very different experience of both behind closed doors and then also a public campaign. And public campaigns work. You need to maintain a very strong line. And if the nuclear accord does not include Iran's ICBMs, but missiles that can strike Europe and maybe even, who knows, America, and does not include Iran's terror support, and doesn't stop Iran from going nuclear when Iran just closed the security cameras along their nuclear sites. If it doesn't include those things, then that is not going to be enough.
Aaron Klein, senior advisor to the former prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, strategic advisor as well, commenting on a striking confluence of meetings. Foreign Minister Lapid with Secretary of State Blinken, President Rivlin with President Biden, and the Hamas terror chief meeting with Hezbollah's stooge of Iran and terror chief in Beirut. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving, it's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learn to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.